Well, good morning, all you coffee shop members. Great to be here this morning. We'll be talking about the second coming and the rapture of the church this morning. But right before I get started, we're opening with prayer. I would like to share something with you. If people come up to you and say that the Bible is a bunch of fairy tales and lies and everything else, well, you just take them to 2 Timothy 3:16. And this is what it says. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And you can, those people do not have anywhere to go. When you tell them that, you show them that scripture, you know. The Bible is not a book of fairy tales. We're going to open with Psalms 1:1-41. The way of the righteous and the end of the ungodly. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And that's one good thing to know. The way of the ungodly shall perish someday. Well, let's look at the rapture and the second coming. Well, what is the difference between the rapture and the second coming? Let me explain that to you. The rapture is when Jesus Christ returns to remove his church. The second coming is when Jesus returns to earth to defeat the Antichrist, destroy evil, and establish his millennial kingdom on the earth for 1,000 years. And do you know in the second coming we'll be coming down with Christ after the 7-year tribulation period? We'll be by his side on white horses. That's what the scripture tells us. Many people are confused the difference between the two. Well, let's look at the end times. The end times are upon us as all the world groans. We as Christians should be looking up, for our redemption is near. Where does our hope come from? It comes through the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ, who died for us on the cross. I would like to open with some of the names of God. First, before we get started, he is the Almighty One, the Alpha and Omega, the Authority, the Deliverer, Son of God, and Bridegroom, the Great I Am, the Good Shepherd, the High Priest, the Holy Servant, the Lamb of God, the Light of the World. And here's just a few of these I'd like to open with this morning, just showing me his goodness and greatness. In the scriptures, it tells that there are over 900 names of Father God and Jesus that glorify and speak of his name. Speaking of the rapture of the church and the second coming of Christ Jesus, we all go about our daily lives busy as they are. But do you think about Jesus' return? Do we as Christians read our Bibles daily? We should. The scripture says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved. God wants to equip us before we go out to spread his word. In Revelation 1:7-8, it says, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. All tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. Now let's look at who Jesus is in John 1:1-5, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now let's continue on and look in John 1, 10 through 14, where it says, He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but to God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 8:58 says, Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And in John 10:30, it says, I and the Father are one. Let me say it again. I and the Father are one. Now, as you can see who Jesus is, let's look at the rapture of the church and the second coming of Christ. The rapture and the second coming of Christ are two different events. Let's talk about the rapture of the church. When could it happen? At any time. All events in the Bible have been fulfilled and ready for the rapture. Rapture in Greek is harpazo, which means to seize upon by force, also to snatch up. Are you ready? In 1 Corinthians 15:51-53, it says, Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. Matthew 24:40 says, And two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one taken, one left. In Philippians 3:20-21, it says, But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Wow, that's something. Continuing on, 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18 says, The comfort of Christ coming. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. All of our loved ones in the graves now. Friends and foe is talking about. Let your sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, we that who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. How awesome is that? The end times. How do we know that the rapture of the church is near? How do we know this? Look around at the world today and we see how it groans and suffers. Myself being a severe storm spotter for the National Weather Service, I've seen these horrible storms like tornadoes and severe storms that plague the earth, and they seem to be getting worse and worse and worse. Things just continue to get worse. You'll hear wars and rumors of wars found in Matthew 6:8. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. And we're there right now, beginning of birth pains. Look at where we are today. And look at all around the world. And the earthquakes that continue to grow in power and multitude. You know, back in 1990, there was around 31 earthquakes a year worldwide. And now, there are more than 50 a day around the world. That's amazing. So you can see right there the scripture is correct. And we're getting very, very close to Christ's return, at least the rapture of the church. But natural disasters are not all the signs we need to look up to the heavens. You know, I looked at the book, John Hagee's Four Blood Moons, and you know, I did a little research on them, and the blood moons always fall on Jewish feasts. And it's pretty interesting that we talk about looking up in the signs in the heaven. I think one of the signs is the blood moons. It says in Luke 21, 25 through 28, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and stars on the earth, distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with forbearing of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And that will be at the second coming of Christ. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Let me ask you one question. If you died today, are you 100% sure you'd be going to heaven? Not 99%, but 100%. You see, standing in the garage doesn't make you any more a car than sitting in church makes you a Christian. If you don't have a personal relationship with Christ Jesus, you will never enter into the kingdom of God. Many people in churches will go to hell because they think, oh, I'm good. I went to church Sunday. I'm good to go. No, no. Being fed with God's word is not going to get you into heaven. It is so important that we share Christ to the dying world before it is too late. Many of my friends and my family members and cry out even, you know, that they don't know. They don't care about Jesus coming, or they don't believe. And even my own children in my family, my granddaughter and grandson, you know, I have close people that don't believe, but I pray for them daily. Prayer is so powerful. My goodness. Well, as I come to the closing here, I believe most of us are Christians here, but if some of you aren't, I would like to share with you in the scriptures how you can come to Christ and ask for forgiveness. If you confess with your mouth in Romans 10:9, it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Also in John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:17 says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And I'm thinking at that, or at the end, might be saved. You don't want to be a might be saved. You want to be saved person. Dear Father, we're so grateful that you've allowed us to be here in your house today and to study your word about the Lord, about his second coming, and about the rapture of the church. We thank you. We bless you for the opportunity to do this. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.